Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome in, everybody. We wrap up the week with a fresh Friday edition of A Numbers Game presented by DraftKings, live from downtown Las Vegas at our Bar Canada at the D Studios. I'm Ben Wilson in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin is here. Kelly, great to be back with you, man.
Hey, it's always great to have you in, Ben.
A nice chipper, Kelly Bidlin. Fresh haircut.
Always, man. Come on.
And beard trim for Kelly on this Friday. Big weekend plans, that
must
be.
Friday. Yeah, big weekend plans. I'm hanging out with you on Sunday.
You are hanging out with me on Sunday. Live Bet Sunday, the affably named Live Bet Sunday. We have a big show here today. Got to get you set up for a really big weekend, really all over the place as far as the action that we have coming up. We'll talk a lot of NBA playoffs here in just a second, but we'll have our good pal Paul Carr on to talk a huge weekend across the pond in the Premier League. I might have a little soccer action for you, Kelly, to close out the show. A little league, that's how you pronounce it, across the pond as well.
Say
it like that. Yes, I will have Paul coming up. That's at 10:30 Eastern. Lou Finicaro talking some NHL playoffs and a UFC fight night at 11 Eastern as well. And then we'll get some baseball discussion. Adam Burke, our senior MLB analyst, joins us to talk all things baseball, 11:15 Eastern. And Matt Grissom on college baseball. Whenever I'm in, I feel like we are contractually obligated, Kelly, to spend at least one segment talking college baseball. Matt coming up to talk college baseball at 11:30 Eastern. So that is on the
audience warned. I previewed your appearance that way. I said, yes, don't worry, Ben Wilson will be here Friday, and we'll be talking college baseball.
Nice. Can't wait to do it with one of our biggest fans at the network and also a great contributor, Matt Grissom. We start, though, Kelly, on the NBA, and you just can't help but laugh if you've gotten sucked in again to trying to bet these exotics, these alts, trying to take advantage of perceived mismatches on paper for the Boston Celtics, yet they've done it again. 13-point favorites last night, completely crapped the bed in every way. A Cleveland Cavaliers team comes into the Garden, a Cleveland team that was in the bottom half of the league, offensive efficiency on the season. And what do they do, Kelly? They hit 13 threes. Donovan Mitchell looks like the Donovan Mitchell we watched in the early part of the season before injuries bogged him down. And Cleveland wins going away. It's a 1-1 series all of a sudden. Just really, to me, more than anything, begs the question. We should probably be talking more about the Celtics team from a long-term perspective yet. I think because of the odds, the fact they've been this kind of pick 'em to -110 favorite to win the title now since the playoffs started, we just really haven't felt compelled to have the discussion. But last night is now the second time in this postseason where as a double-digit favorite, Boston just has not shown up, and I just wonder when that conversation will actually start, when the odds do not at all indicate that Boston should be in this sort of position. They should be taking care of bad teams, playoff, relevancy speaking, like Miami and Cleveland, but they're not doing it.
Yeah, this is it's going to be fascinating. I mean, I think you're going to hear a lot about the Celtics team today, probably.
Well, now, conveniently today, yes.
On shows across the country, like ours and others and other networks. Yeah, I mean, it's a bad loss. I think the one thing that people are going to overreact to, and look, we've seen this from Boston in years past, right? And this team has turned into, they got the best roster in the NBA. They're so deep. They're so talented. Just incredible amount of good players on this team. But their offense revolves around a high volume number of three-pointers. And that's what it's been this year. That's what it's been in years past. And what does that lead to? It leads to, if you get a bad shooting game, all it takes in the playoffs is one bad shooting game from three and your team to have a great shooting game from three. And I'm not saying that's all this game was last night, but most of it was that. And you get the Cavs going 13 for 28 from three and the Boston Celtics 8 for 35. I believe they made two in the second half of this game. And you shoot like that, and this is going to happen when you don't. The offense isn't. It's not very aggressive to the rim, right? You don't really have those rim attack guys like a Giannis or a LeBron or something like that. On other teams, Tatum and Brown get, in my opinion, get a little lackadaisical, but I think it's also built within the offense for them to do that, and end up putting up way too many threes. And if you don't hit them, you're going to have games like this. So, look, I think there's going to be some overreaction today. This team is still, in my opinion, the best team in the NBA that remains. They're seven-game series for a reason, right? And over the course of a seven-game series, I think it's going to be tough for teams to beat them. Like Miami did last year, just blowing nuclear shooting for four games, I think that's going to be tough for Cleveland to still do, but we've seen it before in the past. I just think over the course of a seven-game series, more often than not, they're still going to win enough games and shoot well enough to win those games.
Specifically within this series where Cleveland is still a 7-1 dog, I don't think we should be getting ahead of ourselves as far as overreaction series-wise, or even if we're talking Eastern Conference, where let's remember on the other side here, you have a Knicks team that is still basically playing six players and is super banged up despite a 2-0 series lead on the other side of that bracket against Indiana. We're an analytics show too. In Boston, analytically, they have been the number one team by a pretty good margin all season in the NBA. That's even considering and baking in the inferior conference that they play in the East. I just more look at some of the things that are hard to quantify, which is just the like their constant inability to kind of play that role of close out, take care of business. And you, when you start adding the label of soft to teams and the way you watch them in tight late game situations, I also then have to look ahead and see what's on the other side here. What's on the western side of the bracket? We have a Minnesota team right now playing the best defensive basketball we've watched in the last decade right now, based on current numbers here. You still have, if Denver is somehow able to get past Minnesota, you have a team like a Denver that has all the pedigree, all the, you know, all the proven veteran leadership, as much as they are in a big hole right now down 2-0 to Minnesota. You have a Dallas team that is just grinding, scratching, clawing its way to wins even when their best players are banged up. And an OKC team that, as we'll talk about in a second, despite the loss last night, still has a lot to like and is a very complete team. The point being, like, let's say it's Minnesota, Boston in the final, Kelly. Minnesota is going to be favored. The question is by how much? And yet the odds are not at all a reflection of that.
Boston, you mean?
I don't think
you know, Boston
will be
favored against the Timberwolves. Boston's going to be favored against any of those teams. I think they'll be favored.
I don't think they should, though.
Okay. I mean, look, I think all four of those teams in the Western Conference can give the Boston Celtics a run. Like, your point is still sound. All four of those teams, no matter who makes it out, is going to be a massive challenge for the Boston Celtics. I think the Celtics will still be favored. I think they'll still be favored.
So, I mean, look, and they have the home court, so that will, that will play part of it. I would say, if it was me, I would be picking Minnesota. I would be picking Denver. Dallas and OKC, that's a different discussion, but I feel pretty confident in that. And it's why these sportsbooks should be obligated to at all times offer the two-way betting on these futures, which most don't right now. Now, there are some alternative ways you can look at it, like DraftKings offers the round of elimination, which Boston's plus 265. I mean, at the very least, whether we disagree on who would be favored, let's say this is a Minnesota, but the odds would say
to lose
in the championship game. Yes, Boston, you know, they're minus 110 to win it all right now. Let's say we get a Minnesota-Boston final. Like, even if we disagree on who should be favored, that's going to be a very, very tightly lined series. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me right now you can take Boston plus 265 to lose in the championship game. You know, where does that number go? Does that really change based on what happens in this series, since we obviously expect to bounce back for the Celtics? You know, I don't know how much that number really is going to fluctuate at this point. Surely, though, by the time we get to the final and that actual series price is set, Kelly, it's going to be a whole lot tighter, and plus 265 at the very least. If you don't really believe in Boston, like I don't, long term, that's the best way you can play this.
Yeah, no, I don't mind that bet at all, and I think it's going to – it will be interesting to see how the books, I think, react with the odds, because you and I might disagree on that, but one thing that's going to happen is the perception of Boston, if they lose any more games like this, I mean, really from now through to the NBA Finals, every one of those losses is a major hit against their resume. Meanwhile, you've got four teams on the West that I think are all really good, and whoever emerges from those, you're going to think, man, they had to play a bunch of very tough series to get here.
Sure, and I get it. It's very convenient to right now on May the 10th, after you lose the 13-point home favorite, come out and say, all right, well, this is now the time you fade Boston long term. I just think a lot of these feelings have been bubbling up, and we've got a lot more data than just last night, right, to indicate that this is maybe a, you know, it's almost like I know it's an apples and oranges comparison, but it's almost like the 100-win baseball team that kind of just coasts late in September, and all of a sudden, whoa, they play a real team in the postseason and they get a little bit exposed despite the great numbers, despite all the analytics. You know, like in Boston, you talk about the history here, 14-17 now, their last 31 home playoff games.
That's crazy.
Boston is 18-22 against the spread in their last 40 games following a win and a cover, which kind of leads into our thought of they're just not like they're not the closer type team you want them to be. Jason Tatum, in his last now three playoff seasons, is 22 of 88 on three-pointers. Think about that. For the highest volume three-point shooting team in the league. What does that say when your star player, the last three postseasons, is hitting it at 25% clip?
It was the tweet I saw today. He's the Jason Tatum's the Michael Jordan of Tobias Harris's.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's really, really good.
Oh, man.
No, I'm not saying go out and bet Cleveland 7-1 right now to win the series, because Cleveland is not really any good, but that's really my biggest takeaway after watching them just kind of lollygag and not really give much respect to these teams. Granted, Cleveland played way over their head last night, made a crap ton of threes. That you figure will regress now that this is a 1-1 series. But that's I can't help but think about that on this Boston side here going forward. On the flip side, I mean, what a Luka Doncic performance. We'll dive in a little bit later this hour. Talk about the updated series prices. Probably the most intriguing series price, though, Kelly, now is this Denver, I should say this Dallas and OKC series where Luka back from the dead. I don't know what happened to the knee, but a performance. Just a team performance last night by Dallas was something to behold.
Yeah, I think especially after we heard that report come out yesterday, Howard Beck, I believe, had it first with just what there was questions from the other Mavs players about it being a little too sticky with Luka when he's out there with the ball and they're happy when he gets off the court. I thought that was bizarre. And you're right. I think we really saw a full team performance last night. I think if anybody really feels that way on the Dallas Mavericks bench, you're in the wrong spot, man. You should have known what you signed up for. And what you signed up for is everything runs through Luka Doncic. And what he's doing right now is amazing. I feel like it's almost not even being talked about enough, Ben, to get that quality of a game out of him. He's dealing with a bum right knee, a bum ankle. His left knee was bleeding all night long for some reason. He face planted into the ground in the first quarter and was messing with his teeth all night. Great performance from him.
We'll talk more about the rest of the NBA slate for tonight, the rest of those intriguing series prices as well. But up next, we'll talk about another note around the NBA when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? No, look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price, normally priced at $240. You can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today, and we'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That is 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage in ROI. 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG. That is VSiN.com/subscribe. We open the show on a Friday talking some NBA, and as we are going to break, Kelly Bidlin, we get some breaking news coming down. This was rumored to be happening yesterday once the Phoenix Suns fired head coach Frank Vogel after just a season that Mike Budenholzer was going to be the top target, but Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium just now breaking this news here a couple of minutes ago. It is Mike Budenholzer, the Holbrook, Arizona native, for those who did not know, tasked with optimizing Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal from Shams' tweet, accompanied with a picture of a very forlorn-looking Mike Budenholzer. But
glad they put the Arizona native part.
Yeah, really.
Obviously, this is where he was bound to end up at some point.
Obviously, yes. There was no other outcome here. It is just funny to be the whole, the scapegoating nature of the league, and it's like, really, Frank Vogel is really the problem, and now Mike Budenholzer, who was never, he was also scapegoated from what happened in Milwaukee despite winning a title, and there was a lot of negative sentiment around Budenholzer and his lack of fluidity with adjustments and rotations, and yet look, this is the NBA as we know it in 2024, so it's just kind of the reality.
Yeah, this is look, you're a longtime Bucks fan, so I think you could speak to Bud way better than I can. But I always liked him as a coach. He obviously won Coach of the Year in two different locations, Atlanta and Milwaukee. The scapegoat stuff is a thing, though, right? And he was a victim of it. Frank Vogel was definitely a victim of it. I kind of applaud Budenholzer for taking this job, though, because this is today's NBA, and this is. Clearly, this is a head coach who is coming around to that idea and not at least not fighting against it, right, and resisting the change that is happening in the NBA and just accepting this is what it is. And if you want one of these 30 premier jobs on a team that has a chance to win a title, this is probably what you're going to have to live through. I kind of applaud him for he's very aware of what he's going yep. into, and he's very aware of what happened with Frank Vogel there. And I'm guessing he probably doesn't think it was very fair of him to get fired either. But I you know what? I think it's a good hire by Phoenix. I would hope that they do lean on him a little bit more. And the biggest problem there is I don't know what you do with this roster because they got so much money tied up in three guys, and we gave it about a year and a half to see how are you going to make this work, and it didn't look good down the stretch.
No doubt. Maybe the best thing for Phoenix going forward is that the whole new owner syndrome will eventually, you know, the new owner will eventually not be new, so then theoretically, Kelly, he'll stop just spending ogles and ogles of money, Matt Ishbia, but, I mean, for now, that's not really happened yet.
Yeah, I think that guy's just going to keep spending money, man.
Probably. The guy's been very successful. He's got the money to burn. But Mike Budenholzer, in case you missed that, that is official this morning as of about 5 minutes ago from Shams Charania. He is the new Phoenix Suns head coach. We'll dive back into some NBA. We'll talk updated series prices, a doubleheader of games for your Friday night coming up in about 25 minutes. Also have Paul Carr coming up in 10 minutes or so on the Premier League this weekend. But, Kelly, a very big golf weekend that got underway yesterday, and we've been kind of waiting for this for some time here, especially in a non-major. Even in elevated events, it seems like we've had long shots just scattered up across the top of the leaderboard, and yet yesterday the top guys really showed out. Xander Schauffele 7-under at the Wells Fargo at Quail Hollow final event before the PGA Championship next week. You have Colin Morikawa, Rory McIlroy, each T2, 3 shots back. Really solid start for Justin Thomas as well. 4 back at 3-under. T5, Kelly Bidlin on part of the long shots crew. What was your takeaway, Kelly, from a day one in which a lot of guys at low odds coming in posted really good numbers?
Yeah, impressive. I think you hit on it, especially for those right now, I mean, Xander Schauffele 7-under. You got Colin Morikawa, Alex Noren, Rory McIlroy, all 4-under, four under par heading into round two. Play has not started yet. First tee time coming up here in about an hour. I think biggest takeaway, I mean, well, Hideki Matsuyama, late withdrawal. That was not fun for my betting card. None of my first round action got home. Do have a top 10 on Xander, so I hope he just keeps playing. I mean, he's been the second best player on the PGA Tour this year. I mean, as long as we're not judging guys by wins and losses, right? He's been the second best player on the PGA Tour. No surprise to see him where he's at. Good job on the books. I will say, Ben, because he was definitely a guy I was looking to have a piece of first-round action on, but I could not find a first-round leader bet on him that was shorter than 16-1, so kind of skipped by it, which I didn't, obviously, now, with a 3-shot lead. But the bigger thing to me is a little bit what you brought. We got second major next week. You're seeing, I mean, this is one round. Let's see how it goes. There's no cut for this event, so we will be able to get 4 rounds to look at all these guys. But, you know, guys with questionable seasons so far, right? Morikawa, Rory, Justin Thomas, Jason Day. Definitely Jason Day and Sung Jae-im.
You could throw Max Homa into that category, for sure. Under today. I thought Homa was perfectly positioned to have a breakout season. Hasn't happened.
And that's been part, I think, what everybody wants to keep driving at, you know, what's wrong with the PGA Tour? Why does Scottie Scheffler keep dominating in it? And why are some of us having tough betting seasons? It's a lot of that. Like, that's always been the explanation a little bit for me, at least here recently, is it's not all Scheffler just dominating. It's trying to figure out where the heck the rest of these guys then fall in the pecking order, because a lot of the top guys on the tour just haven't been consistent. So it will be, I think this is going to be really interesting. This is obviously a big time event. This is one of the signature events. If you can get a leaderboard like this come end of Sunday, man, I think as we head into the PGA Championship next week, that event becomes a whole lot more interesting than of what guys you think are really viable to go out there and win it.
Yep, it's massive. Schauffele down to plus 190 now to win the tournament. McIlroy plus 360. Morikawa 10-1 here after round one. Where do you stand on, like, the Twitter outrage over from the betting perspective here, the Matsuyama WD, which happened after noon Eastern? I think this was a lot bigger, like, in the DFS communities where he was a big part of a lot of people's cards, and there was the individual bets and all that. I think there's been a lot of pushback here on the tour saying, look, you guys are partnering with the leagues now. You should probably at least be giving us some sort of inkling here. But you also understand it's an individual sport, and it's always why, like, tennis is always kind of pushed back against the bigger betting stuff because of how individualized the sport is. And is it really on the PGA Tour to say, well, Hideki's questionable coming into this week? Like, where do you draw that line? It's a really tough thing for me to get behind. I get why people are so upset when you have bets and all of a sudden a guy out of nowhere WDs, but it's also the risk you sign up for.
Yeah. It is fascinating. You're right, because I think it's I think when we talk more of these team sports and the deals with the leagues and just trying to hold people accountable for right. when there's already scheduled injury reports that are supposed to come out, I think that we can get a little bit more angry about of, hey, let's make these more accurate. Let's get these in on time. Let's not let the Lakers list LeBron James and Anthony Davis as questionable every single game, right? I think that stuff, with the individual sports side of it, that's what changes it, right? Like you don't, and it's Hideki. Like, it's Hideki with a back injury. Like, this is something we've seen a lot of over the past few years. So, I mean, I don't really know how you police something like that. I mean, from a betting standpoint, I mean, it's thank God he WD'd before he teed off. I understand with DFS that your lineups are getting locked in.
Yep.
You're getting, you are getting hosed a little bit if you're playing DFS from that. But I agree with you. I know there's, look, it sucks losing bets. It sucks losing money. However you're doing this with stuff like that, I don't know how the PGA Tour fixes something like that. I mean, we've seen plenty of golfers still play well, even with slight injuries going into an event. So if I want the guy to have as much time as possible to decide whether he's ready to go or not.
Sure. No question on that. It's just an interesting discussion point to have mm-hmm. on a league that is now, obviously, because of the partnerships, tied to sports betting companies, but also it is still such an individualized sport in that regard. The other individual nugget here that comes out last night, this isn't really like a betting thing here, but Rory McIlroy from one committee, he's a committee guy, Kelly, clearly. He was one committee to the next committee, and now he leaves the, like a lot of people are clamming for it, like, hey, Rory, focus on your golf, man. Get out of the players committee here within the PGA. So he leaves, only to then announce last night he's joining a new committee that will be representing the PGA Tour in its negotiations with the PIF as they undergo that transition with LIV and PGA whenever that merger ultimately happens. But Rory, he's got to stay in the boardroom somehow.
Yeah, he can.
Funny to me.
I kind of feel bad for the guy, and I'm not the biggest Rory fan or hater. I'm kind of down the middle when it comes to Rory. But, man, he's really had to kind of – I mean, he was the guy that had to defend the PGA Tour shield forever, then basically had the PGA Tour drive the bus right over him, right, and say, oh, what, nope, we're going to change up to some signature events and strike this deal with the with LIV. And, you know, then he took a break and was like, all right, fine, like, I'm going to focus on some golf. And now he's back involved. And, Ben, like, I think if you're a golf fan, I think he has to be involved. He has to be. And I think guys like Tiger Woods are trusting him a little bit to lead the PGA Tour forward. So it's a lot. Not one person should have to deal with it, but a lot of that responsibility falls on him.
Well, shoots 4-under yesterday, so good on Rory McIlroy. Second round of the Wells Fargo gets underway at 11 Eastern. Paul Carr on the Premier League joins us next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch that requires no timeouts or half times. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. It's available in 10 varieties and 2 strengths and delivers up to 1 hour of nicotine satisfaction. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Back on A Numbers Game as we continue a loaded Friday show. We'll dive back into the NBA here in a little bit. Kelly and I will talk about the doubleheader for tonight, some updated NBA series prices. But right now, it's a huge weekend across the pond as we talk some soccer with our pal Paul Carr here on this Friday. He joins us from True Media Sports and the Expected Value podcast. Paul, excited to jump into this big Premier League slate here with you as we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. First, though, since we last visited, we do have a Champions League final that is now set. Kind of an amazing season for the German teams where you have Bayer Leverkusen haven't even lost a match in all competitions. Dortmund, Bayern both make the semis, and it is Dortmund, Real Madrid here in the Champions League final. What's your first take just on the fact that we get a underperforming Dortmund team who actually makes the final against this rock solid, really, really good Real team all year?
My first thought was that since you're a Dortmund fan, can you explain to me the dichotomy of this team that has been fifth place and maybe lucky to be there in the league and is now in the Champions League final? Because I can't make any sense of it.
The stat I saw, Paul, I think Dortmund of the teams of the top 5 flight leagues of European soccer are like 65th in expected goals allowed this season. Yeah. Like it's ridiculous. Yeah. They don't play defense. They've got this very like eclectic group of guys who were really good at Dortmund, went elsewhere, struggled like a Jadon Sancho. They're now back. legend Marco Reus is leaving the club at the end of the season. I have no good explanation for it. It defies all logic. I think there's a reason why the books have Dortmund plus 250 to win the final against Real, right. But they've been able to somehow find a way. They've been able to neutralize these top scorers on the opposing teams all throughout the Champions League run, and they did it again in this tie against Paris Saint-Germain. I'll be curious to see if they can slow down a former Dortmund product like a Jude Bellingham, who's been amazing this year for Real Madrid. I'm kind of pessimistic, but you're right. The fact that Dortmund's even here is nothing short of a miraculous.
Yeah, we've got 3 weeks to think about this final, but it's a very confusing one in the sense that, am I going to bet on Real Madrid's devil magic because they just have this Champions League ability to win games and lift trophies that no other club seems to do? Or am I going to bet against Dortmund and this nonsensical run that they're on of sorts? So I will say, like, first blush, I kind of like, say, the draw in 90 minutes at plus 310, just because that's a really good price, and Madrid doesn't tend to just blow the doors off people in Champions League. They just kind of get it done one way or the other. So, you know, going to extra time and whatever happens then, who cares, is not a terrible price at plus 310. So I kind of lean that way, just given the big prices that we're getting.
Yeah, no doubt. Hard to believe. I mean, since 1998, Kelly, Real Madrid has won 8 Champions League titles.
Wow.
Won 8. Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Less than 20 years.
6 of the last 11 finals. And this is knockout soccer. This is not like 38 games of the table doesn't lie kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, on the draw price, I got a question for both of you guys, because this always fascinated me. Do you think that's a price that will end up going down because you're going to get some sharp action bet early on it, or as you lead up to a final like that and recreational money comes into play? I'm guessing nobody wants to go and bet draw over a 90 minutes in a Champions League final, right?
Yeah.
So is that possibly one you wait on and you get a longer price closer to kick, or no?
I would say probably, when you say, Paul, in a matchup like this, yes, because it's more because the odds are a little bit more lopsided. Like, oftentimes when you have the really tight matchups, you're going to see more action taken on a match to go to extra time. It would be hard pressed for me to see that happening unless Dortmund just basically parks the bus and is like, hey, we're just going to try to play our vintage counterattacking style, hope to pick one off and win it, you know, 1-0, and just, as Paul said, take care of that that ridiculous devil magic that has been going on the other side.
Yeah, I could see it, the line kind of creeping toward Real Madrid, just because they're Real Madrid and they're by far the better team this season and the, you know, public team, if you will, of sorts. So if anything, I think the draw line might creep up a little bit, but I wouldn't expect a whole lot of movement on it.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's go, Paul, to your bets. Let's go to the Premier League, where we have this fascinating race down to the final couple weekends of the season. Arsenal has the 1-point lead over Man City, but City still has a match in hand. Arsenal at Man U Sunday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern here. And I guess if you wanted to buy low on Man U, this would be the time, because they've just been dreadful. 1 win in their last 7 in the league, and that was only to Sheffield United, who's dead last in the league, coming off a 4-0 loss at Crystal Palace here on Monday. Any shot here for Man U to play spoiler as Arsenal tries to keep their hopes of a title alive?
I mean, I don't think so. I've been fading United all season, and they've pulled out a lot of games to go against me with, you know, just goals out of nowhere, stoppage time goals, that kind of thing. But it seems like it's all finally starting to catch up with them. I mean, the whole back line is injured. Got to plug in Casemiro, who looks like he's completely cooked in the back line. He's a natural midfielder. They have no midfield, essentially, that's, you know, especially one of, you know, a reasonable age at the end of a season. So I don't think there's much left here. I have a play on this game, and I'm playing both teams to score no at plus 150. Essentially, I think this is an Arsenal win to nil type of bet, but the price is a little lower just in case United has this horseshoe that they pull out of nowhere and maybe holds Arsenal scoreless or miraculously gets a 1-0 win type of thing. So, yeah, if you believe Arsenal a little bit more, you can get a better price on win to nil. But I like both teams to score no at plus 150.
The futures right now have Arsenal. They're plus 225. Man City, your favorites at minus 280. Like we mentioned, still have the game in hand. So, basically, Arsenal need Man City to draw one of these final three. Arsenal have to win out and hope they maintain their goal differential advantage of plus 6. At minus 280, is that a fair price to you, Paul, right now? Man City takes on Fulham, who's 13th in the table. Big favorites here tomorrow morning. 6-0-0 their last 6 here in the Premier League. Like, realistically here, minus 280, is that fair or too heavy on Man City right now?
I think it's about right. I mean, really, there's really one semi-tough game left for City, and it's Tuesday at Tottenham. I don't think Tottenham's all that great. I think they've been a little smoke and mirrors this season, but they're still the best team left. It's at home. It's, you know, the closest thing Spurs have to a title game. They kind of have Europe to play for a little bit. So there's something there. That's a game that City would slip up, if anything, because it's hard to see them losing at Fulham, which isn't very good. And West Ham is the final game of the season for City, and I think they're on the beach already. So minus 280, I think, is about right there.
I think you're right on that. Yes. Even in the Premier League, Kelly, we still have the Cancun teams, you know, even if they're still playing.
Except they're going to Bermuda. Thing.
They're going to Bermuda.
Like you.
Or they're going to Ibiza or something like that.
Ibiza.
Ibiza. Ibiza. Yes, Kelly.
Get it together, Ben.
Yeah, let's get it together. The other kind of side of this, too, we still have relegation yet to be completely decided. Nottingham Forest is 3 points up on Luton Town for the final relegation spot. Nottingham Forest at Chelsea tomorrow afternoon. They look to be in a pretty good position. They're plus 800 to get relegated, so it's likely going to be Luton, Burnley, and then the already relegated Blades there of Sheffield United. But what are you doing here in this Luton match? You are at West Ham, and Luton in a spot where they are in total desperation. You have to make up those 3 points and a big goal differential in the final two match days.
Yeah, I think between that desperation that Luton has that you mentioned and just the fact that West Ham is kind of done, they don't have a whole lot to play for here. I think this will just be kind of a loose open game. You already have two of the worst teams in the league by just about every defensive metric, from goals conceded on down. They give up a ton of shots on both sides. Since Luton has to win, I imagine they go for it. Obviously, that opens them up a little bit on the counter. So I just think there's goals here one way or the other. I have the over 3.5 at plus 105 in this one.
Nice. How about this number on Luton Town? Both teams to score has cashed 14 of their last 15 matches. I mean, defense optional, Paul, with Luton Town there. Fighting for their Premier League life. The one team that's already been relegated mathematically, it's poor Matthew Fitzpatrick, Sheffield United Blades. It's been an awful, awful, dismal season for the Blades in every respect. They are taking on Everton here in your final play on your weekend card, Paul.
I think this is another both teams are kind of done sort of thing. I mean, Everton's been very good defensively on the whole this season, so I don't think we see goals here. I played under 3 at minus 110. Six of Everton's last seven have had two or fewer goals. On the whole, this season, their games have had the fewest goals all year. Now, Sheffield United's defense is terrible, the worst in the league by far, which is why you can get a decent price on this. But Everton hasn't really shown much interest in attacking either the last few weeks once they kind of got into safety. So they've also hinted maybe they'll rest some starters. That's a little TBD. So if you want to wait for lineups, not the worst idea either. But under 3 goals, minus 110. So you push on the 3. But you get a better price if it's two or fewer goals.
He is Paul Carr. You give him a follow at Paul Carr, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line from True Media Sports and the Expected Value Podcast. I'm also pumped for Sunday because it starts our EFL Championship playoff here. One more spot up for grabs in the Premier League. Norwich, Leeds, West Brom, Southampton, some big teams. Who do you like to come out of those four if you have to pick one for that final promotion spot?
Ignoring the odds, I'm rooting for Norwich because, one, they have Josh Sargent, who's an American, plays up top. And two, if they get up, their big rival is Ipswich Town, which finished second in the championship and is already promoted. So if you get those two teams in the league, it's a big East England rivalry. That would be a lot of fun. They're both agricultural areas. They call the rivalry the Old Farm, which is a play on the Scottish rivalry, the Old Firm. So it'd be fun to have both of those teams up there.
No doubt. Kelly, do you know the mascot of Norwich City or the team name?
No.
Come on, Kelly. The Canaries. How do you know?
Canaries. Let's go.
Canaries.
Obviously.
Yeah. When you think Norwich City, duh. Paul, great to see you as always, man. Should be a fun weekend across the pond.
You bet, Ben. Have a good one.
Absolutely. We will talk some NBA, something Kelly knows a little bit more about, when we come back here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, the NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use code VSIN. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Big thanks to our first guest of the Friday show, Paul Carr, talking some Premier League. We'll have Lou Finicaro coming up in 15 minutes on the UFC and NHL postseason. Adam Burke in a half hour in Major League Baseball. Matt Grissom in 45 minutes on college baseball. Loaded guest list here for your Friday. Also on Friday, We have a double dip in the NBA, Kelly Bidlin, and we go back to the well here. And a couple of fascinating series with how they've played out so far. Firstly, in the Minnesota series, where the Wolves are up 2-0. They go back home now, taking on Denver. Potential last stand here for the Nuggets. But the line still, despite this being the ultimate situational, gotta have it spot here for the Nuggets, Kelly, because of some of the banged up nature of the Nuggets roster and Jamal Murray's status being injured, yeah. The line is not so has not whatsoever gone in that Denver direction. We're sitting pretty standardly at the 4.5. Really, no buyback. I haven't seen it all here on Denver. Even though there was a brief move up to Minnesota, that's come down since.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that you just break down the four series. Like, oh boy, did a whole lot change last night with how you view all these series? Because all of a sudden, this becomes. You already knew the Nuggets were in trouble. Now this is somehow the most lopsided series, and it's not even really close, right? Through two games, so. I did put a bet in on the Timberwolves early when this first opened up, laying 3.5 on that. But, part of that bet was just assuming that Jamal Murray was probably going to be missing at least a game because it's, in my opinion, criminal that he's not. It's beyond bizarre. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. I have no idea how he's playing in this game tonight, but he will be. He will be hampered. He will be. He is dealing with an injury still to that calf. Reggie Jackson, the ankle injury. Got some of these teams like and with Knicks. We're going to get to in a minute, but this is. Both these teams are just getting really, really thin as far as quality players that they can put out on the court. So I think it's kind of fascinating, Ben, just of talking line moves, right? So this opens Timberwolves 3.5 with the possibility that Jamal Murray could be suspended, right? He doesn't get suspended, and we're still out to 4.5 now on Minnesota with no real buyback from the Denver side. So I think it's fascinating just from a betting line move discussion of where we're at with this game. I would still lean to Minnesota. I think from what you've seen the first couple games, this is who this Minnesota team is. Now, can the Nuggets team put something else together here to look a little bit better tonight and give Nikola Jokic some help? We'll see, but man... Like you brought up earlier, this is one of the better defenses we've seen in a long time. You get Rudy Gobert back tonight. Reminder, defensive player of the year wasn't their game, too. You get him back in the lineup tonight if you're Minnesota. Not a heavy bet for me, but I laid the 3.5 on the opener. I didn't add anything more since then. I don't know if I'd be rushing currently to go hammer him here, but definitely a heavy lean, even at 4.5 heading into the game tonight for me with Minnesota. Just with everything they've been able to do offensively and defensively. We had questions about what this offense was going to look like in the playoffs. They were kind of a middle of the road offense throughout the whole season with by far the best defense in the league. And, half court execution becomes huge in the playoffs. And Anthony Edwards has really taken this team, I think, to a new, a level where they really do have a shot to win an NBA championship. So at current number, current situation, current injury report, heavy lean to the 4.5 on Minnesota.
And this total also has been drawn so much to the under that we've actually seen some over money come in, open 204 up to 205 in a lot of spots. And it's kind of the point now, Kelly, where if you're looking to still back that Minnesota D that has matched up so well with Denver, the length has been able to neutralize so much of what Denver wants to do on offense, and they've kind of just made it a Nikola Jokic will get his, everybody else is pretty much neutered. And you look at the Jamal Murray piece of this, who's just been atrocious in the series, setting aside the extracurriculars, if we're going to be really kind to him, from the other game. 25 points on 9 of 32 shooting, 2 of 8 from 3, 25 total points, yet his player prop is at 20.5 here for tonight. Like, is that the only realistic way now you can with value still attack the Minnesota defense? Is just look at player prop unders now on Denver, or is there another way around this?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, the Minnesota defense is that good, and I wouldn't blame anybody for kind of taking that approach. I still, just beginning series notes for me, going back to before this even started, I kind of had over-circled, thought these numbers were going to be a little low, and now that we've really taken a dip here, I'd actually look. I think we're getting to that point where we're getting at least close to that point where, to me, the only way you can look is over with how low this number is getting. But I understand. If you want to just isolate the Denver side, right, to kind of go against them, I think that would make sense. Obviously, I've got a bet on the Minnesota spread. So, yeah, I think you could do different things, right? Team total under if you wanted to look that way for Denver, if you wanted to attack player props like Murray. And that number, it feels about accurate. I would actually recommend if you're betting that one way or the other, you got to mix in some alts. Either if he's going over, he's probably going way over that number. And if he's going under, he might be going way under that number.
Denver at 100.5 on that team total, by the way, with Jamal Murray set to play tonight in that game, even though Minnesota's now a $6 favorite to win the series. Denver with a ton of work to do there, trying to come from down a 2-0 hole and on the road there in Minnesota tonight. Another series that is at 2-0 here, Kelly, and represents some interesting betting line prices, at least on the series here. We also will go back to the Eastern Conference tonight. We have Game 3 as we go to Indiana, the New York Knicks taking on the Indiana Pacers, and there has been a pretty sizable move here just in the general line. Updating my odds screen here, Indiana now out to 7-point favorites across the board, out from a 5.5 opener. And on the series price, while the general thought was, okay, Knicks, they're taking care of business, this thing is pretty much done and dusted. Minus 320, Pacers at plus 260 there on the series price in the 2-0 hole. What do you make there, Kelly, on that line move here? We're big move to the side, big move as well to the total here down to 222.5 as injury continues to also be a big storyline in this series. And it's like, how many guys will the Knicks be able to suit up tonight? Yeah. I think is a big question.
Yeah, I mean, massive movement on this game, on this series price. And I think it's all fair, Ben. It's just the Knicks already play such a short rotation and small number of guys off the bench. And you're talking OG Anunoby, you know, is out now. Mitchell Robinson out for this game. Jalen Brunson, okay, he was amazing in the second half of that game the other night. But, what can he keep doing this through all the injuries he's battling through? Him and Luka are just something special right now. This was – the series price movement is really fascinating to me because I was heavy in on the Knicks to win this series. I went and bought off my position a little bit right after Game 2 ended. I grabbed plus 375 on the Pacers.
Wow.
Ben, plus 375. This has come all the way down to plus 260 over at DraftKings. So major, major movement. I took them plus a game and a half, too. This Pacers team is tough to figure out. The injuries mounting here from New York. I like Indiana tonight. I went and checked my regular season numbers and regular season numbers and what would I kind of make this spread given the injuries. It's about right on for me. I actually thought this was still going to be a little heavy, and I would be saying that I think Knicks at +7 still has a little bit of value in it. This is about right as I would set it, and I think really the problem is how much Jalen Brunson has been used in this, and you don't really know what his status is, right? You don't really know what you're going to get out of him in this game tonight. So I would almost recommend if you're considering a side in this, I think you got to look live. I don't know if I'd be firing anything pregame. You got to see how Brunson's going to be moving. He's going to go. This guy has proven he is tough as nails. He's going to go and tough it out as best as he can, no matter what. But how effective can he be? I mean, we saw what happened last game. He leaves the court for an entire quarter. You have no idea what's going on with him. And then, clearly hobbled in the second half of that game, but still able to get it done. I think this is really tough to talk about from a side standpoint tonight. And it could be, I think if you are liking the Pacers tonight, I'm laying 7 and I'm probably mixing in some alts on this one too. I think you're laying 9.5, laying 10.5, something like that. Cause this could turn into a rout. And if it does start heading that direction, Ben, I think you're going to see Tibbs pull all those guys that have been playing major, major minutes like Josh Hart, get him some rest while you can, kind of sneak that in a game if it's already looking like a loss.
Yeah, it kind of feels like either you're going to have that one extreme or it's going to be Knicks magic again.
I hope
Brunson
it keeps
might
running.
Score 50
Let's go.
And it could be a tight game. Brunson on the player prop, even listed as questionable, but because there's just nobody else, you've got two key pieces of the rotation, like you mentioned, Kelly, out tonight. 35.5 on the point prop for Brunson. A guy who went under 30 points for the first time since game 2 of round 1, the last game of this series.
Ben, if you gave me $100 of your money, I wouldn't bet the under. He's all banged up. I wouldn't do that to you, my friend. I wouldn't do that. I don't believe it.
Even with
as much.
The injury piece, I look at my first reaction was like, well, that seems kind of light. Like, who else is scoring for the Knicks? Like, he might on one leg score 40. He's done it before.
And I want a DiVincenzo player props. You might need to look over. He might get a lot of shots tonight.
20 and a half of the points for Dante DiVincenzo.
I might get involved in that.
We'll talk a little more NBA to close the show. But up next, we transition NHL, UFC talk with our pal Lou Finicaro right after this on VSiN.